Nicely with Martin Besser.
A very special guest with us this morning. It's my pleasure to welcome Graham Codrington. He's himself a global futurist and speaker. That sounds very cool and interesting. Graham, thanks for your time. How's it?
Yeah, good morning, Martin.
What the heck is a futurist?
Thank you.
I think people have this picture of somebody who's got a caravan and a crystal ball.
That's Felicity.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I wish. Or maybe the bones, right? I wish that was true. I mean, if we could predict the future, well, I probably wouldn't be here, right? I'd be on my private island somewhere.
Sure.
So it's not about predicting the future, but it's about looking for where deep disruption is taking place in the world. Things that move us, if you like, onto a new road and a new path for the future. And then looking for the threats in that, obviously. But more importantly for me, I love looking for opportunities in that deep disruptive change.
So every time that there is change, some people do find it disruptive. Whether it is specifically in technology. Every time there is change, you hear people say, whether it's a phone or a car or a TV or a remote, you're like, immediate reaction is one of annoyance and sometimes fear.
And that's the correct response, because throughout the history of the world, as our brains have developed, almost everything we didn't know was either trying to kill us or eat us or chase us away. So your brain is programmed to look for threat. It's programmed to say, this could go wrong. And sometimes it's right. So, you know, we need to be thinking about the fact that things could change in a bad way. Then we see the human spirit. And again, throughout all of recorded human history, the human spirit is the spirit that says, but what could go right? What could we make of this? How does this play to our advantage? And so that's really what we're trying to do as futurists, is show people what that change is, take away a little bit of the surprise element, help you understand what you should be nervous about, and then point you to the opportunities.
It sometimes feels to me like the people who are at the forefront of making technology are becoming more and more disconnected from the average person. And I'll tell you why I think this. If you look at cars and phones specifically, we only use, I would say, 10%, if that much, of the functions that they think are cool and usable. We also have a way of just filtering. And just end up using, you'll get along. I mean, you're going to use the phone, right?
But do they honestly
think that the average person knows how to use half of that?
Well, I was super disappointed last year when the iPhone 16 came out, because I've still got an iPhone 13 and I haven't found a reason to upgrade yet.
Sure.
And they came out with three amazing new innovations. The first one was an extra button. What does the button do? Accesses the camera slightly faster. Second major innovation, the camera is now even more megapixels than it was. But my current one's fine already. And the third one, no lies, was that it came in purple. Who doesn't want that?
Right.
Yeah, okay. Purple. Okay, that's one we can tell. But I think you're right. I actually think, although we live in this tech-dominated era, I don't think the technology is actually improving our lives. If that extra button should have cured cancer or cleared the traffic or made my dinner.
Yes.
Not just access the camera. So I do think that some technology development at the moment is there for the sake of development.
And in fact, here's
a little top tip. If somebody is coming up, whether it's Sam Altman or Tim Cook or Satya Nadella, any of these big guys at these tech companies, and they stand on stage and they say, look, we're releasing something and in a year's time it will be able to, don't believe them at all. That's the hype.
Okay.
That if they stand up like they often do at Samsung and Apple, and they say, look at what we've got, it will be in stores on Tuesday, then get excited, then get interested. At the moment, it's a hype factory, a hype machine going on there.
I don't think they get enough feedback from the average person.
No.
I agree.
Because I can tell them, just from my perspective, is I don't want cameras to get any more clear.
You're quite happy.
Enough.
the pixels and the stuff that you have are really amazing.
Yeah, they're good. Yeah.
Lovely for nature, not for humans so much.
We're good.
Ain't nobody getting any younger here. We've got some more coming up. Our special guest this morning. Oh, what a topic to talk about is technology. Come on now. It's been affecting our lives for many, many decades. And how we've adapted, actually. Yet I still ask you to WhatsApp me. If you have any questions for Graham this morning, you're very welcome. 084-850-0942.
You're with your own family. Breakfast with Martin Besser.
A special guest with us this morning. It's my pleasure to welcome Graham Codrington. He calls himself a global futurist and speaker. That sounds very cool and interesting. Graham, thanks for your time. How's it?
Yeah, good morning, Martin.
What the heck is a futurist?
Thank you.
I think people have this picture of somebody who's got a caravan and a crystal ball.
That's
Felicity.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I wish, or maybe the bones, right? I wish that was true. I mean, if we could predict the future, well, I probably wouldn't be here, right? I'd be on my private island somewhere.
Sure.
So it's not about predicting the future, but it's about looking for where deep disruption is taking place in the world. Things that move us, if you like, onto a new road and a new path for the future. And then looking for the threats in that, obviously. But more importantly for me, I love looking for opportunities in that deep disruptive change.
So every time that there is change, some people do find it disruptive. Whether it is specifically in technology. Every time there is change, you'd hear people say, whether it's a phone or a car or a TV or a remote, immediate reaction is one of annoyance and sometimes fear.
And that's the correct response, because throughout the history of the world, as our brains have developed, almost everything we didn't know was either trying to kill us or eat us or chase us away. So your brain is programmed to look for threat. It's programmed to say, this could go wrong.
Okay.
And sometimes it's right. So, you know, we need to be thinking about the fact that things could change in a bad way. But then we see the human spirit. And again, throughout all of recorded human history, the human spirit is the spirit that says, yeah, but what could go right? What could we make of this? How does this play to our advantage? And so that's really what we're trying to do as futurists, is show people what that change is, take away a little bit of the surprise element, help you understand what you should be nervous about, and then point you to the opportunities.
It sometimes feels to me like the people who are at the forefront of making technology are becoming more and more disconnected from the average person. And I'll tell you why I think this. If you look at cars and phones specifically, we only use, I would say, 10%, if that much, of the functions that they think are cool and usable. We also have a way of just filtering.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And just end up using, you'll get along. I mean, you're going to use the phone, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But do they honestly think that the average person knows how to use half of that?
Well, I was super disappointed last year when the iPhone 16 came out, because I've still got an iPhone 13 and I haven't found a reason to upgrade yet.
Sure.
And they came out with three amazing new innovations. The first one was an extra button. What does the button do? Accesses the camera slightly faster. Second major innovation, the camera is now even more megapixels than it was. But my current one's fine already. And the third one, no lies, was that it came in purple. And this is
who doesn't want that? Right?
Yeah, okay. Purple. Okay, that's amazing. But I think you're right. I actually think, although we live in this tech-dominated era, I don't think the technology is actually improving our lives. If that extra button should have cured cancer or cleared the traffic or made my dinner.
Yes.
Just access the camera. So I do think that some technology development at the moment is there for the sake of development.
Yeah.
And in fact, here's a little top tip. If somebody is coming up, whether it's Sam Altman or Tim Cook or Satya Nadella, any of these big guys at these tech companies, and they stand on stage and they say, yeah, look, we're releasing something and in a year's time it will be able to, don't believe them at all.
Oh.
That's the hype.
Okay.
That if they stand up, like they often do at Samsung and Apple, and they say, look at what we've got, it will be in stores on Tuesday,
okay.
Then get excited, then get interested.
Okay.
At the moment, it's a hype factory, machine going on there.
I don't think they get enough feedback from the average person.
No.
I agree.
Because I can tell them, just from my perspective, is I don't want cameras to get any more clear.
Enough.
The pixels and the stuff that you have are really amazing.
Yeah, they're good. Yeah.
Lovely for nature, not for humans so much.
We're good.
Ain't nobody getting any younger here. We got some more coming up. Our special guest this morning. Oh, what a topic to talk about is technology. Come on now, it's been affecting our lives for many, many decades. And how we've adapted, actually. Yet I still ask you to WhatsApp me.
This is Breakfast with Martin Bester. Jacaranda FM.
Our very special guest on the show this morning is Graham Codrington. A very important point, just to kind of get us to calm down a bit, is it's okay if you're fearful, if you fear change or you're uncomfortable with it. It's a natural instinct.
Yeah.
It is what it is. But at the same time, I think we underestimate how we can adapt. You adapt easier to technology than you think. Am I right? People don't realize that. Even much older people. If you think where you were 20 years ago and where you are now, and what you're doing and what you're using, it's actually quite impressive.
And I think you're exactly right. And I think we need to see the technology developments that are coming in as having the potential to improve our lives.
Yeah.
And as long as you get your head out of the surprise box, where you're constantly surprised by everything going on, you will be able to see what you can do and where the benefits might be.
If you dial back, how many years? 40, 50?
Mm-hmm.
If you see what happened in the world in the last 30 years, in our worlds, it's actually mind-blowing.
Yeah.
Absolutely mind-blowing. About 20, 30 years ago, you had to convince people that email's not the devil.
Exactly.
Right. I don't even know if there was emails, were there? Like, the fax machine isn't the way that 20, 30 years ago. That's how we functioned. And the advancements have been so fast and furious. But we've kept up. Slowly but surely, we've kept up. Yes, I get being scared because sometimes you're like, oh, it's going to take all my stuff. It's always that. It's going to take all my stuff.
This is where the AI conversation comes in, right? There are a lot of people that make us scared of AI.
Mm.
And it's called the movies.
Terminator.
The natural question is, where is this going to end?
Mm.
Because right now, in the year 2025, it is now developing so quickly.
Yeah.
That it is a little bit scary. If you look at deepfake and all that kind of thing. And that, in the last year, for me, from an industry point of view, from a scam point of view, it has become a bit scary.
It has, and I suppose we need to get that context, that what ChatGPT and all the others, right?
Yeah.
So Claude, Bard, Bing, Grok, all the rest, what they have done is they've taken the whole of human history, everything we've ever known, maybe the way to picture it is the biggest library you can imagine.
Okay.
And they've made it all available to you on your phone in a few seconds. So nobody can say, I don't know anymore. Because you can say, I don't want to know, or I don't care, but you can't say it's impossible to know.
Yeah.
Because you now have access to all of that knowledge. But it's only the knowledge that already exists.
Okay.
Here's a hot take for this morning. These things are not thinking. Mm. They are not intelligent, and they are not learning. Their technology doesn't allow them to learn. They're just the smartest nerd kid you ever remember from school who knew everything, but then add that little BS element in because they will tell you something and then you think, well, could that possibly be true? And maybe it is, maybe it isn't, but here's the problem. Imagine somebody doesn't care whether it's true or not. They only care that it sounds good. They only care that you believe them. And that, I think, is what generative AI is. And this is, some people call it hallucinations. I think the better word is just BS. There's one of them in every friendship circle. Sure. You know, on the weekend they're telling you this, and they've got a girlfriend, but she lives in another city, and
doesn't go to the school.
You know, and they know the cousin of Sir Kulisi, and you think, well, some of these things are true, some of them are not. There's a BSA in every friendship circle.
By the way,
if you don't know who it is, because there's always one in your friendship circle, and you can't think who it is.
It's you.
I mean, but that's what you've got with AI. You've got this thing that does have access to all of the knowledge that's ever been in the past, but if it doesn't find what you're looking for, if it doesn't know what it's talking about, it doesn't then tell you that. It just makes something up.
But isn't it a misnomer then? Should it be called artificial intelligence?
Because absolutely
it's
not.
I think that's where it's misled us. It's not AI. Yet. Can it ever be?
It can be, but I think that's a long time in the future. What it is, and maybe this is useful for people, let's call it IA. It's intelligent assistance. It's not artificial intelligence. And I would go further, let's even call it an intern. So imagine an intern arrived. You wouldn't just say, please answer all my emails for me. I'm going home. You would say, I need you to do something for me, but I want to check what you've done before I do anything with it. That's what we've got to do with AI.
Assistance.
It's assistance, not intelligence.
It's an encyclopedia.
It's an encyclopedia that doesn't care whether it's right or wrong, but it has all the information that's ever been had. And it will help you if you ask it, but it will make stuff up if it doesn't know it. So treat it as such. That's cool. It's cool to have somebody like that in the house.
I like that. We've got questions for you coming in.
Cool.
Graham Codrington this morning, talking all things tech and artificial intelligence. A lot of people are using ChatGPT. And there's also a lot of fear mongers going around and people saying it's going to take over our jobs and, you know, where is this going to go? And you see these fake videos of robots behaving strangely and stuff like that. You know, it's the understanding of it, I think, is the most important thing ever. And as to your point, it's filtering. It's filtering what is real. But that's nothing new to us.
Yeah.
It's nothing new to humans. We have to filter what's real, what's fake.
It's just ramped up now.
What's useful and what isn't useful. So it's challenging that part of us in the biggest way, I think, in a very long time. Any questions for Graham? 084-850-0942.
What did you guys drink this morning? It must be really good.
This is Breakfast with Martin Bester, Jacaranda FM.
We're talking all things technology and specifically AI, artificial intelligence. Our special guest on the show this morning is Graham Codrington. Thanks for your time again, Graham. What is your message to people that want to resist change and especially change in technology? Because here's the thing, it's going to happen. And right now we're in the era and it's going to change rapidly. You got to go with it in some way. You can use it to your advantage, to become more successful for your business as a person.
Yeah. So I would say resist for the right reasons. Okay. If you feel like resisting, resist for the right reasons. Okay. The wrong reason is it's change. Okay. That's a bad reason to resist. To just say things are going to change. They're always changing, always have. Don't resist because you just don't understand it. You know, do some work. Get to understand it. But we are still in charge. And we can still imagine a future. These technologies are not coming for us. We created them. We programmed them. And we can put limits on them if we feel that we need to.
Sure.
And so the person who phoned in before the news just asked, you know, aren't we supposed to be making more jobs in the world, not taking jobs away with technology? That's a good reason to resist. A good reason to say, no, I would much rather support a company that supports people.
Sure.
And so you can make your choices about who you shop from and which devices you buy and which technologies you support based on the fact that we should be using our tools and technology to make the world a better place for us.
It's going to become a selling point. It is already a selling point.
Yeah.
I'm already hearing adverts where people say, you're going to speak to a human.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
A whole human.
Yes.
Imagine.
Yeah.
It's incredible. So there's also a saying, the more things change, the more they stay the same. We do seem to come back in our world to authenticity.
Yes.
We keep coming back to it because there are some things that technology will never be able to do for you. That there are some things, artificial intelligence, that will never become. there are certain things that we are going to just not accept. Even if it thinks, even if the world thinks it can do the same thing as.
Yeah.
It's not true.
But let's also come at that issue of authenticity from another angle. About half of the teenage love story movies you can remember are when one person is either paid or there was a bet to pretend to fall in love. I'm thinking like 10 Things I Hate About You or something like that. And it's like half of all the movies are you really in love with me? Or is it programmed for some reason? Now, make that technology where does this technology really care about me? Does it really love me? Does it really know what's good for me? And if I discover in the background it's just a piece of technology, it's just an algorithm, it's just coding, it's doing it because that's what it was told to do, it doesn't feel right. It doesn't feel like a relationship. It doesn't feel authentic. It doesn't feel human. And that for me is where people are going to say, I don't want this.
We'll still know the difference.
I think you, we will.
As a human, you'll sense the difference. And if it is a novelty, it might be a novelty right now. I know there was big conversation on social media this weekend about a certain aggregator, a certain platform endorsing or using or posting an AI band.
Saw that, yes.
Yeah. And musicians were losing their minds. Mm. How can you be supporting an AI band? I think it was the same kind of reaction I'm imagining back in the day when people saw cartoons for the first time.
First moving pictures.
or CGI. They're like, but what are you doing? Yeah. You're replacing humans. And somehow here we are still watching plays. Yeah. Here we are still watching musicals. Here we are still watching humans act. It's the same thing with music. AI is a great songwriting tool. As much as a guitar is also technology. Let's just be honest about it.
Yes.
A piano is a man-made, it's technology. So AI, if you look at it in that way as a tool, a very classy tool, then one thing. But AI making music, I think it's a novelty. Yeah. Am I right?
I think so.
It's like a novelty now. People are going to be like, no, I'm not here for that.
But also think of music. The live music experience, whether it's in a small jazz club or a massive open air festival at a stadium, that's actually the cool part of music. Yes, we love listening to the songs, but you can hear when it was recorded live and when you are there live. That's a whole different experience. Taylor Swift, she's made lots of money streaming her music. She's made way more money getting up on stage, being real in front of people.
Yeah. True story.
So we want the real as humans.
What can AI not do?
Well, so here's a quick thing that people should check out. And this proves the point that we've been trying to make the whole morning. It's intelligent assistance, not artificial intelligence.
Okay.
Wherever you're listening, maybe don't do this if you're driving, but grab whatever device you've got that's got an AI tool on it. It can be Grok, it can be ChatGPT, it can be whatever. Easiest, if you don't know where it is, go to WhatsApp.
Yeah.
Bottom corner, that little circle. Yeah. Now, ask it to create an image of somebody writing with their left hand. So just do it. I promise you it can't. So ask it to create an image of a person writing in a book with their left hand. Don't search for the image on Google Images. Create an image.
Create an image of a person
writing with their left hand. Now, people are doing it. It'll take a moment or two to create it. I've done it over here, and it will show you people writing with their right hand.
Oh, my word.
Sorry, left-handers. You're left out of the planet.
As always.
Yeah, sorry, caller.
Yeah.
Always.
Why does it... Why? Because
So think about it. The point we've been trying to make the whole morning is this thing is not thinking. It's not intelligent in itself. It's based on an encyclopedia of information, but only historical data. They call it training data.
Oh, my word.
And 99.9% of all photographs of people writing are right-handed. It's gone into its database to say, I want to create a picture, but I've got to base the picture on something. Mm. It's looked at pictures. Almost every picture it's seen is somebody writing with its right hand. Sorry, left-handers. It doesn't know what a left or a right hand is, so it's taking a fat guess. And that's literally... I know it's a simple example. The tech nerds out there are going to phone in and say, whatever, give us stories. It's just an example of this fact that generative AI is based on existing knowledge. So if you want a nice summary of everything that already exists, including all of the racism and sexism that's already there, well, then ChatGPT can do that for you, no problem.
I'm breaking up with my AI girlfriend as we speak.
Sorry, Lefty.
Not in it anymore.
Listen, I always think of it this way. I don't think we need to fear technology or any change. You've got to fear the smartest person who makes it.
Yeah.
They sit with the power, and if you look back centuries ago, that's never changed.
Yeah.
It's the person in charge of the system. It's the person who creates the change, who endorses it, who, you know, signs off on the legislation or whatever. That's the person. We've been threatened with Mars how long now?
Oh, so many years.
We know we're not sending you.
No, I don't know why. I don't know why you even think you're not sending me.
Well, it's because the day that you said you can't find the fog lights in your car, I think it was right about that day.
Yeah, but I can grow vegetables.
You were excluded.
You can't do that.
Also.
Yeah.
Also. Yeah. Also true. Yeah. But you won't see your vegetables without the fog lights.
This is true.
Mars needs
Mars. Breakfast with Martin Bester. 6 to 9 weekdays, Jacaranda FM.